Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left Restaurant and Captain Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day, 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning there, Mark.
Morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm Aces.
I want to start today with... Got an email.
Do you care that I'm Aces?
Yeah, it's great.
You asked me, but then you didn't even wait for the answer. You were ready to move on.
I had asked you over coffee before I knew. I was asking for the listener's benefit. We're starting today with an email. We add another continent to our fan base. I love the emails we're getting from y'all. That's great. It really makes our day. So please send us emails. We love hearing from you.
We do love it.
And a lot of you have come up with great suggestions for future shows, which we are taking you up on. And this is an email from Australia. Just a quick note from Australia to let you know that you have a fabulous show. I've been listening to you via podcasting. What an amazing invention. I'm a chef and restaurateur in Sydney and have learned a lot from some of your guests. I downloaded shows from the middle of 2004 and have listened to them all. Great stuff. Shame we don't have anything like this. Keep it up. Regards, Lee.
Thanks, Lee.
That's great. Okay, we add Australia to the fan base of the Restaurant Guys Radio Network.
Yeah, the whole podcast thing is pretty interesting. It's just kind of, I think, changed the face of what we do.
Pretty wild. Well, let's talk about something local. I mean, we do talk about national topics, but we also talk about local things often. And we had dinner at Mario Batali's new restaurant. It's in partnership with Joe Bastianich and Lydia Bastianich. They've opened up a restaurant in New York called Del Posto.
And what is to be a super premium restaurant? This is they kind of want this to be the flagship, the top of the top of their restaurant kingdom, is really what they have.
Their goal, though they've never stated it, is to people are positing that their goal is to be the first New York Times 4-star. Italian restaurant. There's never been an Italian restaurant to get 4 stars. Only American and French restaurants thus far have gotten 4 stars. And there are only, 7 or 9? We'll have to look at exactly how many 4 stars there are. So to get 4 stars in the New York Times is more important than Michelin stars New York restaurants. Absolutely. Now, this restaurant was pretty amazing. We talked about when we made the reservation. I mean, they did some very interesting things.
There's a lot of hoop jumping we did to get in to go to Del Posto.
For parties of more than 4, they fax you. You basically need to make your own limited menu. So
first you start obviously with the credit card guarantee, and
an actual deposit.
And an actual deposit, which decreases at 10 days before you go to the restaurant.
No, deposit increases.
Your deposit decreases if you were to cancel within 10 days. You lose 10% day 10, 20% day 9, 30% day 8, and so forth.
Yeah. So it's a hard reservation to get. But I was amazed, we wound up limiting the menu, because if you're party more than 4, you don't order off the full menu. You limit your choices, which, from a restaurateur's perspective, believe me, I'm sure that makes the kitchen work much better and ensures a greater quality of food to you.
Well, as far as the customer goes, and I think that's something we want to include in this conversation, as far as the customer goes, that can definitely make a meal much smoother.
Yeah, sure.
Because you're not, party of 9 or 10, which is what we were. We were a party of 9. When a party of 9 orders 9 different entrees that come from 9 different stations, that can cause a little bit of problem for continuity and timing.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have a multiple course dinner, it's quite a logistical nightmare to do that. And we do that for parties greater than 10. Mm-hmm. They do it for parties greater than 4.
That's a lot.
Yeah, anyway, I have to say, it was a lot of hoopla to get the reservation. It was a lot of hoopla to go through to solidify the reservation, make the deposit, choose your limited menu. But I have to say, one of the most beautiful restaurants it's ever been in my life.
A spectacular restaurant. Opened in the Meatpacking District, the new hot and trendy Meatpacking District. I mean, it's not new. The Meatpacking District's been there forever. Yeah. But the new hot and trendy Meatpacking District is new. And really, really a beautiful space.
We've been down around the Meatpacking District, and Mark and I are I don't like it. I don't care. For those of you not around the New York area, that's where like the trendsters are going, and there are a bunch of people opening trendy restaurants there. There are a bunch of people opening, and the thing there, because real estate, it's the only place where you could get real estate, because there were still a lot of large warehouses and stuff that are moving out, and so people are opening very large scale restaurants. And we go down there once in a while for business reasons, and I just don't really care for most of the places in the neighborhood.
Some of the places, though, are nice. Market is a really interesting, really good, nice restaurant.
But Del Posto is a new animal. I mean, it's a beautiful place with wood, a beautiful white marble staircase right in the center. They have a piano player that plays all night. And it's very rich. But I'll tell you what's different about Del Posto than the other restaurants down there. We were in Spice Market, for example, which is Jean-Georges Van der Richten's restaurant down there. A very interesting architectural place. But you walk in and you feel like you've walked into a movie set. It has nothing to do with New York City. Mm-hmm. It's all this Asian stuff that doesn't fit. You're not even in Chinatown.
It's a little out of place. It's way out of place.
I felt like I was walking into a movie set.
And Spice Market didn't bother me as much as you, but I think that's correct. It is much more like a movie set. It's much more like something that was built in order to...
Could be anywhere. Could be Asian land in Disney World, in Epcot Center.
Del Posto had much more of a New York sensibility. Del Posto had a much more of a New York sensibility, except for the real estate that you got.
Yeah. Okay? It's huge. I mean, the amount of space between tables...
Very big. There was no table within 10 feet of us.
Yeah.
It was... We had a lot of space... To do our own thing.
Which, for New York, for those of you who aren't used to dining in New York restaurants, is particularly, I mean, to get real estate, even in the fine restaurants in New York, I mean, when you have space between tables and people can't hear your conversation, I mean, real estate's at a premium in Manhattan, and you pay for it. We certainly did pay for it.
Right. Again, we said this earlier in the show, a super, super expensive restaurant.
But I will tell you something else. I was sort of beginning to resent the hoops we had to jump through to get things set up. But as with all of Mario's restaurants... Service was great. We walked in. They were very welcoming. I didn't feel like I was waiting to get on the other side of a velvet rope. And, you know, they didn't know who we were. And they were not that we mattered if they did. But, you know, there were people that I didn't know. The bartender was great. The sommelier was great. And they made you feel very much at home in this very high-end place.
I felt that the service was one of the top service restaurants in New York that I've been to in a very long time. I really did. I felt that the quality of the service, and clearly they've culled from their different properties some of their best people, because the service was really, really extraordinary and experienced.
And I'll tell you something else. That night we saw on the floor of that one restaurant was Joe Bastianich, Lydia Bastianich, and Mario Batali, who I'd seen, you know, walk through the kitchen that night. So
pretty amazing to have all three of those.
Really hard to get anything wrong if you got three luminaries of the restaurant business all walking the floor of one dining room.
But what you saw there with those three people and the service level there, what they did is they noticed what we were doing, and they followed along with what we were doing. When we ordered great bottles of wine, all of a sudden there was a sommelier at the table.
Yeah.
All of a sudden there was a little bit more attention to that detail.
Hey, listen, we're going to talk to a gentleman about soul food in the next segment. We're going to link you to Del Posto. It's kind of hard to get a reservation, but I really think it's worth the wait if you're coming to New York and you want to try it. I think that's a really great idea. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey 1450, early morning with Jack Ellery.
Well, the president speaks to the nation, and the question is, does this part of the nation believe him? About the war, about terrorism, about health care, about the economy. In Idaho and Kansas, goodness knows what they think. But who cares what they think? Unfortunately, they can vote.
Jack Ellery, early morning, weekdays, on Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal and Francis Shada, stage left in Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. And we're going to be talking today about soul food. I need to explain to you who our next guest is. Lindsay Williams is basically soul food royalty. He's the grandson of Sylvia Woods. Now, anybody who knows anything about soul food in New York City knows that Sylvia's restaurant in Harlem is the epicenter of soul food in New York City. Lindsay owns one of the hottest caterers to the stars, Neo Soul Events and Catering. That's the offspring of his standalone project and a combination of that and Sylvia's Catering. His cookbook, Neo Soul, Taking Soul Food to a Whole Nother Level, is out. And Lindsay's a self-described food addict who at 5'5 once weighed in at over 400 pounds. He's beaten his addiction to food, and he's personally down to a healthy 160 pounds or so. And his book and catering company are based on rewriting soul food to basically help keep body and soul together a little bit longer. Do we have Lindsay online?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Hi, hey, Lindsay, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Thanks for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I'm hoping that you can help put something down for us or help me articulate something. You know, there was a soul food place in New Brunswick that Mark and I used to go to all the time called Shuggie's.
Shuggie's was the greatest.
And we used to go and get, we would get chicken and cornbread and all kinds of.
Oh, and ribs.
And
boy,
ribs.
The ribs were good.
Now, but you know what? I'm not sure that I know exactly what makes soul food soul food. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, I think the reason, this is my, you know, assumption about it. Like, my grandmother always told me that. I said, Grandma, why do they call soul food the way we cook, like Southern food? Why do they call it soul food? She said, really, Lindsay, soul food is really what people who cook from the soul. They cook within their heart, you know, and that consists of, I think, all nationalities of food. If you cook it within your soul, you can call it soul food, you know, and that's, but it just happened to be like the Soul Brothers thing, like in the 60s, you know, like,
uh-huh.
You know, the big afros and, you know, going to, you know, walking down the street with the comb in their hair.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that had to, in my opinion, that it has a lot to do with they put that staple in soul, they put that like that.
And you and so but the soul food you're talking about is mostly, you know, Southern cooking, right? I mean, there's no
exactly.
Okra in my family's soul food, you know what I mean?
Right. No, Southern cooking, that's the, you know, basically.
Well, tell us your story. I have to say the book everyone should know is called Neo Soul, Taking Soul Food to a Whole Nother Level. Yeah. And like a lot of the great books that are coming out now, it's not just a cookbook, although it has more than 100 recipes for how to make soul food healthy or, you know, home food mm-hmm. really healthy.
Right.
But it's also a book about your story, and I think that's really great. Well, now, you grew up around food, and you grew up in the restaurant business, right? Why don't you tell us about Sylvia's and where you come from and what the tradition you grew up in.
Everybody here may not know about your grandmother's restaurant.
Sure. My grandmother, she basically, her and my grandfather started in 1962. Hello?
We're here.
She started in 1962, and they started like a little small luncheonette. And what they did was they brought, like, in each, like, there was, like, buildings. Like, they when they got our luncheonette, my grandmother actually brought this luncheonette from her boss, who name was Miska Johnson. And it was she was just a waitress there, and he was retiring, going upstate New York and up in Vermont or whatever and buying some other property. And she's like, he was, like, saying, you should buy my place. And my grandmother was like, I don't know how to run a restaurant. I'm just a waitress. So anyway, she wound up buying it. Her and my grandfather actually bought the place. My great-grandmother, who was her mother, actually mortgaged the farm for her in South Carolina to actually buy the place, to give her the money to get to Mr. Johnson. She got the place, and my grandmother was always afraid of paying rent, you know, so she
right.
said, I don't want to pay rent. I want to own the building. So she wound up buying the building above us, and each property that she bought consistently down the on this avenue, she expanded each dining room. There was a building attached to that, and she bought the building there. Then the next dining room she bought the building there, and she consistently, now she has four or five dining rooms, and we own the whole block, and that's how
she was expanding on the street level, but at the same time, she was expanding the properties that she was buying above
totally.
Them.
Now
but
we're talking.
She was always afraid of paying rent.
Me too. So now we're talking about you know, a waitress who goes to buy this restaurant, and now, I mean, for those of you who don't know, I mean, Sylvia's, that's the center of soul food in New York City. I mean, like, there are lots of celebrities and a former president that go into Sylvia's a lot, right? I mean, you have a star-studded clientele, is that right?
Oh, yeah, you name it. I've seen almost anybody and everybody in here. I tell everybody one interesting story. What makes us so interesting, I think, in the whole world, I don't think you'll ever see this in one night. And what we call one of the dining rooms is called the Green Room. I saw Marilyn Albright with Secret Service agents covering the whole block. And these were people who didn't know each other were coming. Ed Bradley from 60 Minutes was in the dining room. Al Sharpton and his family was on the other side of the dining room. And then you had mixtures of different nationalities and different people. Like, you probably had some family right around the corner who live on Section 8, you know,
yeah.
That was in that same dining room eating. Everybody was all eating together, and that just chemistry was just, and nobody cared. Everybody was just in relaxed mode, and it was just incredible feeling to see that.
You know,
that this was unexpected, that these powerful people that was in this room mixture of all walks of life in one room was great.
I think that, you know, we talk about all the time, we always talk about restaurants and how they really bring people together in our locus of community, and maybe there's a little story of hope in that story you just told us. When we come back, we're going to talk about, and I want to talk about your story and how you sort of grew up in Sylvia's and how you've come to have your own caterers to the stars with your own star study guest list, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1125.
Hi, this is Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants and also of the Restaurant Guys radio show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to restaurantguysradio.com and click on the Mardini Group link, or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with Mark and Francis, the Restaurant Guys. We are here talking with Lindsay Williams. Lindsay Williams is the grandson of Sylvia Woods of the famous Sylvia restaurants in Harlem. We're talking about soul food and Lindsay's new book, which is Neo Soul, taking soul food to a whole nother level. Lindsay, we were talking before the break about your grandmother's restaurant and how it sort of is the center of the soul food world in New York City. How did you get your start in the restaurant? Did they just like hand you a broom because you were a kid and say, "Go to work"?
Well, as a kid, my nursery was around the corner from the restaurant, and right after like nursery, and I remember just being around here, and I just basically being around our whole lives, just always being around. I remember peeling potatoes. My grandmother, her best friend that she grew up with, was the head chef in the kitchen for a while before she passed away, and her name was Miss Ruth Gully, and I've always had a very good relationship with her as a kid. I really miss her daily, and I remember like always going back there and hanging out with her, and she would like put me on like, I would sit on this pot, turn it upside down, and sit on this pot, and there'll be another big potatoes, it'll be another pot of potatoes, and I'll have a butter knife, and I'll just like help her peel it, because I, as a kid, you want to be an adult, so
yeah, absolutely,
do what everybody else is doing, you know.
Yep.
So I would have a like, and I just mess with the guys back there and act crazy with them. And so I've always, always had a feel to fill the restaurant. But I never really wanted to be in the kitchen, because I always thought the kitchen was just way too hot. And it was just really like, just the work was just too hard.
Yeah,
I didn't ever want to get burnt and all that stuff. And it was just, my grandmother, she got burnt when we were kids.
Sure.
A whole pot of boiling water fell on top of her once.
Oh, my God.
That's rough. I think my mom used to give me extra, more potatoes than we would actually eat.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just to keep me busy in the corner.
Exactly. Right.
But you,
that kept us very busy for, like, long times.
But your calling was in the front of the house, and then, we're going to talk about when we come back after the news. You parlayed all the people that you met there and all the skills that you learned being sort of the mover and shaker in the front of the house to a successful career in music with Def Jam Records. And then you've turned that around to your new career with this amazing catering company that's like caterers to the stars. And the book is something that we recommend people pick up. It's called Neo Soul, Taking Soul Food to a Whole Nother Level. And we're also going to talk about how you sort of change soul food around to beat your food addiction into order. And we'll talk about that after the news. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Our guest today is Lindsay Williams. He is the grandson of Sylvia Woods of the famous Sylvia's Restaurant in Harlem. He is the author of a new book called Neo Soul, Taking Soul Food to a Whole Nother Level, and he has Neo Soul Events and Catering, Caters to the Stars, an incredibly successful catering company. Lindsay, we were talking before the break about how you started working as a kid in your grandmother's restaurant and you found your home more in the front of the house than the back of the house. And then you eventually sort of parlayed your skills into a successful music career with Def Jam Records.
I need to know how that jump happens.
Yeah,
how do you go from, I mean, not that I'm going to go into a music career, but tell us how that happens.
I think what happened was, as a kid, I was kind of a rebellious kid, like, you know, like a lot of kids out here. And I've always loved music. From a kid, I've always loved music. And Russell Simmons used to come in here, like, a lot, and I used to bug him for a job all the time, but so I used to do internships with different record companies, and while I was waiting on tables here, or managing, or whatever the case was, and I also worked for like a couple of promoters in the city, passing out flyers for different gigs and different parties, and putting up posters on street poles.
And you wound up having a lot of success in that industry, didn't you? I mean, like big cars,
yeah,
big
totally.
Homes.
Yeah. I started at Def Jam. That was the beginning of my career. I went there for 4 years because I buzzed him enough to where he got me a job. And then I worked at a couple other labels, but my last job was at EMI. I did almost 8 to 9 years at EMI Records. I was the executive vice president of urban music there.
And I understand urban music is really taken off. I'm just kidding. I understand there's a couple of bucks in that. Now,
Yeah.
So you're at the top of your game, and that sort of fell apart. What happened? And how'd you wind up back in with the catering company?
What happened was EMI Records itself folded. You know, the record division folded. The music company itself, you know, EMI Music owns Virgin Capital, et cetera. So they folded the record division due to a lot of other reasons besides just, you know, anything else. And that happened. I had a label through them that was about to come out. I had a couple of artists on my own label that was going to be distributed through EMI. And just a lot of different things started happening. I was doing a partnership with some business guys. That fell apart. My wife and I was in really bad terms, and she got to the point where she just had it. And she's like, you know, her timing was off, even, but her timing was really bad.
I'm glad
for her timing, because I think if she would have waited another year, I probably would have been gone.
So the record industry's loss became the food industry's gain again. You got back into the food business, except you decided to do it on a whole another level, just like it says in your book. Why don't you tell us about how that went?
Yeah, because I started thinking that I said, you know, I've always loved the food business. I just didn't really, you know, music was the first love. But I also didn't want to work for my family. I didn't want to work with them because I just don't have, like, you know, you deal with families.
Yeah, you don't need to explain. My dad has a couple of businesses that I easily could have walked down that path.
Hold on a second.
Now
you have two different issues going on. Now you had battled in your book. You talk about a food addiction that you battled, and you were 5'5", and you weighed in at one point at over 400 pounds.
Right.
Now your career's in a shambles. You're at the heaviest you've ever been, and you come back and you sort of reinvent yourself and you reinvent the food you grew up with. How did that happen? What did you bring?
Probably, it happened all like. I'm not sure if it was planned out. It probably was planned by God, not me.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, in all honesty, I really don't know. I just thought about it, like, my first phase of this, like, I didn't know what I wanted to do in life. I know I just wanted to get the weight off. I sold my cars and houses and all this stuff, and I went and moved in my parents' basement.
Wow.
And
top record executive to your parents' basement.
And that's what I did, and I went there, and the only thing I concentrated on was just staying focused on my food plan and going to the gym. I lived in the gym. I was there. I got to know everybody, from the maintenance guy to you name it. I knew the towel guy better than anybody.
So you're over 400 pounds. What are you? Where are you at now?
I always fluctuate between 180 and 190. I'm in between those two.
Wow, that's pretty good. Now, but at the same time you're doing this, you're working in the soul food restaurant again. That's got to be tempting.
Yeah, what I did was I needed to make a living. So I said, let me just go to the restaurant. I help my mother out on the catering side. And then I'll manage the restaurant. You know, I'll take a shift in managing the restaurant. And I wasn't embarrassed by it. I didn't care if friends saw me and go, you know, you're driving a van now where you had, like, three cars. You were driving Range Rover, Lexuses, and all this stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're standing in a restaurant, you know, feeding people, and you was, like, this executive signing great artists and
yeah, but you know, the other thing about that, though, is, like, when an alcoholic gives up alcohol, they tell him not to go work in a bar. You're battling a food addiction, and you go back and work in a soul food restaurant. Was that difficult for you?
You know what? I was extremely focused. I was very, very focused, mm-hmm. and I had zero stress.
Uh-huh. Well, now,
I had zero stress. My only focus was just getting by today and focusing on myself, learning to love myself again. That's the only thing I cared about. There was nothing more important to me.
So now you get your personal life back in order. You get your weight back in order. You're in a soul food restaurant, and now you turn your attention to starting your own business and sort of reinventing soul food. Well, can you talk to us about what you're doing?
Yeah, what happened was I started thinking about what did I wanted to do in life. And food was just coming to me, and I started thinking of all these different special ways on how can I do events. I started looking at mission boards, like, you know, private chefs, you know, like, I know that by me knowing how celebrities live, I know that they always love the luxury of having a private chef, you mm-hmm. know, and I was like, I should provide that service, you know. I know that the catering side is something, you know, I've always overseen all my videos that all my artists did, and the video action was always something I kind of oversaw myself. And so when it came to events, I'm like, you know what, how come, you know, if you go to a real fancy white event, it's always really done by, like, David Preston and all these beautiful stuff going on, but, you know, the average black event that goes on, like, nobody puts the time and work into it to make it look extravagant and make it to give it that theme and concept. And I was like, you know, why don't I do that?
You so know, you decided to be that guy.
Yeah, I said, you know, doing catering, you know, doing an event, it's like almost shooting a video. You know, you come up with the concept of the theme of the party, and you give them that atmosphere, what they, you know, what they
so,
want.
So not only do you have the food skills, you've also got LL Cool J's cell phone number, so that really helps.
yeah,
you know, that can help things long in a small business.
But
I
understand exactly what you're saying, because so much of it is what you're doing is there's set design and concept and what direction you want to go with the whole process.
But let's talk about the food. You didn't just go and bring Sylvia's food and the soul food you grew up with to these events. You made the food healthy. Was that where did that come from?
On the private chef side, I really strive on healthy, you know, healthiness. Like, even my chef that I work with, I strive with them about cooking a lot with, you know, less butter, cooking a lot with olive oil, and, you know, cutting back on some of that olive oil too, and not smothering with it.
One of the things about your book, you talk a lot about African American food and about the traditions of food and about having food be flavorful and how it's the center of so many events. And you also talk about making it healthy while preserving those traditions. And I mean, you're talking about a cuisine that there's a lot of pork fat in that cuisine. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of ham hocks in that cuisine. And if we turn those things around, and I want to talk more about your book and the specific things you do to change the traditional soul food dishes to keep them flavorful and preserve those traditions while, you know, helping us keep body and soul together for a little bit longer. And we'll talk about that in just a moment with Lindsay Williams. He's the author of Neo Soul, more than 100 tempting recipes, taking soul food to a whole nother level. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
You know, Mark and I are always saying that long-term, good environmental policy and good economic policy are one and the same. And that's not just for the government. It's also for small business and homeowners just like you. To help us put our money where our mouth is, we called E2ECTA. E2ECTA uses a team of specialists to find practical ways for your business or home to conserve energy and even to generate green energy that the utility company then has to buy back from you. That generates a different kind of green for your bottom line. We've gone solar at our restaurants. We're now producing cheap, non-polluting electricity, and with the help of E2ECTA, we did it for very little money. The government programs available to get you set up are unbelievable. We're talking about grants here, not loans, but grants. E2ECTA will help you find the right programs for you, and they'll do the paperwork. You keep the profits. It's a no-brainer, people. For lower energy usage, more profits for yourself, call E2ECTA at 908-359-9300 or click on their link at restaurantguysradio.com. E2ECTA for total energy solutions.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, back with the Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Shotta. Stage Left in Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. And our guest today is Lindsay Williams. His book is called Neo Soul, More Than 100 Tempting Recipes, Taking Soul Food to a Whole Nother Level. Lindsay once weighed in at over 400 pounds on his 5'5 frame, and he's now down to like 180. He's gotten as low as 160. He's in good shape. Part of the way he did that was to sort of reinvent the food that he knows and loves so well. Talk to us about this book, Neo Soul, and your catering company, Neo Soul, and what you do to make this traditionally very unhealthy food healthy.
What I did basically was just I look at all the traditional recipes, I look at all the traditional entrees and sides and desserts, and I said, well, you know, it's our culture, and it's something that we were born and raised around, and if we lose these kids that's growing up now, you know, anybody under my age, they're going to wind up losing that tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to wind up eating, they're going to wind up eating more sushi and more this and more that, and forgetting about the tradition, about our food and what we grew up on. And because it's always been known as being so unhealthy, so I was like, you know what, look, maybe I said the only way that we can keep that going, and keeping that going, is like, why don't we change, the vegetables are all, you know, very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Entrees are very healthy. It's just what's put into them and how it's cooked.
Well,
so I said, well, why don't I just use the substitute and just say, you know, instead of frying this and frying that, pan frying it or oven frying it, or, you know, and it's not going to be the exact taste because pork fat and good fat taste different.
Mm-hmm,
that's
yep.
Just the bottom line. There's nothing, you know.
But what I really like here, Lindsay, is that you're addressing two very, very big problems that I think are with society today. Okay, and the first one is, you know, the African American population has one of the highest incidence of
diabetes
in the country. I mean, as many as 14.5% of African Americans have diabetes or the pre-signs of diabetes, and so you're addressing that issue in your book by changing people's eating habits and changing the cuisine.
But preserving the tradition.
But at the same time, the other major problem that I see, certainly in this country right now, is people are losing their sense of tradition. They're losing their sense of where we came from. And that's something that Francis and I talk about a lot. And you can't lose that line to the past just because you want to eat a little healthier or
totally.
or change your cuisine.
You know what? Those girls that's grown up in those homes, when it comes to them being grandmothers, they got nothing to tell their kids.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Mark, Lindsay, we just opened a restaurant based on the recipes that Mark's grandmother taught to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're having a lot of success with it. And I think one of the reasons we're having success with it is people want to if they even have lost their own culinary tradition, they want to come to your place or our place because they want that connection with the past, because food is cultural. It's where we come together, you know?
I think we did lose it for a little while, and I think people are reaching back now, and people like you and hopefully people like us and other people are reaching back now and trying to grab onto those traditions, even if they're with our own little spin.
That's awesome. I think it's so important. I don't even want to mention clients' names of mine who are African-American, who are very successful, got multi-million dollars, and those kids don't know soul food. And
yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, some of the changes that you've made that I saw in your book were, and what I like about your book, it's called Neo Soul, Taking Soul Food to a Whole Nother Level. We're going to link to it on our site so you can go and pick it up. If you go to restaurantguysradio.com, you can figure out how to get it. But you take the traditional fried chicken and you bake it.
You know, but you bake it with certain modifications that really make it more reminiscent of the traditional fried chicken. The fried catfish becomes grilled catfish, but again with some modifications. And what I like about the book is I think very often when people try and take a cuisine and make it healthy, they just sort of corn oil everything and turn down all the flavors. And while you change the flavors a little bit, you know, your soul food still has soul, and that's really important.
Yeah, totally. It's fun. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed having fun with some of the recipes, and especially the Special K, because as a kid, I was always trying to lose weight, and Special K was only healthy cereal at that time. So Special K was one of the cereals I was very familiar with.
You coat your baked chicken in Special K, is that right? To make it crunchy, make it feel like
fried
chicken? I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
So
it was fun.
Lindsay, Oprah's not going to have you back on the show and berate you that everything was all wrong in the book, is she?
Sorry, say that again?
I said Oprah's not going to have you back, not going to have you on the show and berate you that everything was wrong in your book, is she?
Because she just had that author on the show recently where, well, A Million Little Pieces, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope not. I don't even think she was going to have me back on her show.
Now, how important was that to your catering company, being on Oprah? I can't imagine that wasn't awesome.
It was fun. I was like, when the producers called, it was really about my weight loss. It wasn't about my business, per se. It was really about weight loss issues and talking about, you know, just personally, just, you know, catastrophes and weight. That's really what we talked about mainly.
So Neo Soul Events and Catering.
She did mention, though. She said, how do you lose weight being in a soul food restaurant? She did talk about that. So, yeah.
So let me ask you, though, since you've been on Oprah, can you possibly book Neo Soul Events and Catering, or are you all booked out just doing stuff for the stars? Can normal people hire you?
Of course. I do a lot of normal stuff. I'm in the Hamptons in the summer, and I work. I call them charity weddings.
Uh-huh.
Which I really enjoy doing them. I hardly make any money off it, and I really enjoy doing those weddings. There's a couple that met and
Lindsay, hold on. We're gonna ask you to hold on for just 1 second. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back in 1 second with Lindsay Williams, author of Neo Soul, taking soul food to a whole nother level. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal and Francis Shatta, stage left in Catherine Lombardi restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. And our guest is Lindsay Williams. He has got Neo Soul Events and Catering and also this great book called Neo Soul, more than 100 tempting recipes, taking soul food to a whole nother level and a whole healthier level. Before the break, Lindsay, you were talking about weddings you do out in the Hamptons, charity weddings. What is a charity wedding?
Well, it's like, I do events out in the Hamptons, but then I also have, like, around here in the Harlem area, city area, like, I call them charity weddings because I don't really make a lot of money off them.
Uh-huh.
But like somebody, you know, I get this every once in a while. I get a cute couple come up to me and say, you know, I don't have much money. This is all I have. Can you please just do my wedding? And they tell me that like there's one couple of friends that they met at a rehab center.
Uh-huh.
And they, you know, met at some drug addiction program, and they were there for like a year, and they met each other and. One of them got, you know, they both got great jobs, and they've been, you know, sober for a long time, and, you know, they're looking at starting a great family, and she said, Lindsay, I think she said I got like $7,000. Can you help me? And I got, you know, I want to have 100 people at the wedding. I was like, are you kidding me? I thought about it. I was like, you know what? What can I do for this couple for $7,000? To actually give them something that they won't forget, you know, that they could always remember.
And you did it.
And I did it. And I made zero money on it. And
sure.
I gave most of the money went to food and staff. But it was, I felt so good. I put my heart and soul into that one special day for these guys. And I felt so good doing it because I watched how happy they were. And this is a couple who can never afford, no one's going to take the time. Mm-hmm. To put that much time and effort in making this place look that great, and for that one night, you know,
one of, one of the, One of the best things about our business is that we get to make people happy.
Lindsay, we like you a lot. You're everything what restaurants are supposed to be about, and bringing people together and being a part of the community.
Oh, thank you.
And your relationship with food and your own personal battles as you recount in your book, Neo Soul, are really amazing. We're going to put a link up on our site, too, and we hope a lot of people buy it. Thanks for being on the show with us.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
That's really great. That was Lindsay William, author of Neo Soul, more than 100 tempting recipes, taking soul food to a whole nother level. Pick it up, check it out, have some soul food, and eat well and do good. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.